Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And that's going to be some verses that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. You know, the home is not just where life happens. The home is where faith is supposed to begin. So I have a lot of information for you guys today. Hopefully most of this will be a refresher, but I'm hoping that it challenges you as well. I'm going to say something to parents, to grandparents. I'm going to say something to kids. And I'm going to say something to all of us, okay? Some things that will challenge you and get you thinking about what your responsibility is to the home. As we begin, I want you to think about this question. If the church were to disappear tomorrow, would faith still thrive in your home? Now, I know that because we don't want to think about the church disappearing. But it's thought-provoking, too. I think we just rely so much on the church to provide spiritual nurturing, guidance, development of everyone in our homes that we don't think about things where we should, which is, for my case, 256 North Avenue. Look over into Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 6 and 7. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. We're going to use these verses as our foundation for our time right now. God's design. God's design was for the home to be the center of faith foundation. Now, we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you back up to verse 4, it starts what's called the Shema. And I do want this in its entirety to you. Follow along if you have your Bibles open. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Do you think that was important to God? I would think so. Very important to God. In Genesis chapter 18, we find this is Abraham, and it's right before Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And it says about Abraham that he was chosen because he was going to command his household about the teachings of God. He was going to lead them in the ways that they needed to be led. Psalm 78 verses 5 through 7 talks about passing truth on to the next generation. So this would be something for parents to be thinking about, grandparents to be thinking about, and others as well who are making an impact on the generation and generations that are coming after them. And then Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, you know, where verse 1 starts, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? Verse 4 talks about us bringing up children in the nurturance and the admonition of the Lord. Here's a true statement. God never intended the church building to replace the home. He intended the home for church, He intended the church to be a support for what should already be happening in the home. Y'all know what a greenhouse is, right? Place where plants will grow. Well, think about the church as a greenhouse. But the home is the soil. Well, if the soil is neglected, can the greenhouse do its job? The answer is no. So if we're not doing things at home the way we should, we're not going to be able to do things here at church the way we should. It doesn't work backwards. So a couple of questions for y'all to think about. What spiritual conversations are being had inside your home? This is something maybe for you to talk about later. What spiritual conversations are being had in your home? And one more. Is faith only discussed at church? Or is it something that you're living out every day in your life? Those are things for you to think about. All right. I want to talk a little bit to parents. And I'm going to include this with every adult, okay? Every adult, which means if you're a grandparent, this applies to you. If you're an aunt, an uncle, this applies to you. If you're a cousin, this applies to you. But young folks, y'all need to listen too. Because you're going to be a parent one of these days, maybe. So you're going to think about these as well. Parents, you are to be the spiritual leaders for your children. Do not make the mistake of expecting your preacher, your youth minister, your Bible class teachers of your kids to be the primary teacher and educator, spiritual guide for your children. Fathers, parents, you are to be leading your children spiritually. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Proverbs 22:6 talks about training our children, okay? Train a child in the way that he should go. Joshua 24:15, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, talks about faith that's being passed down from grandmother to mother to son. Parents, this is your job. This is what God has given you. He has entrusted these small ones to your care. Yes, for raising them physically, meeting their basic needs of necessity. But if you want your children to go to heaven, you have to teach them. You have to model for them what God expects for them, expects for you. Spiritual leadership, it is not about perfection. None of us are perfect. right? We're going to make mistakes because we're flawed individuals. We're imperfect. But it is about intentional direction. It's my job. It's my job as a parent to Mary Beth and to John to teach them. I'm not going to wait on somebody else to do it. It's my job as their parent. It's Che's job as their parent. So don't pass that off on somebody else's parents. A parent is like a thermostat, not the thermometer. You don't want to just test the waters and see how things are going. You set the tone in your home. Okay? You are the thermostat, setting the spiritual temperature for your home instead of just reflecting it. So some practical ways of parents that you can lead. Model your faith openly. Model your faith openly. Pray where your kids can hear you. And I'm not talking about at the dinner table, right? That's easy. I'm talking about when you're struggling or you're hurting, if you need like strength and support from God, and the only thing that you can think to do about it is pray, well, do that. Pray. But let your kids hear you pray. Why? Because that will teach them that when you need help, when you need strength, when you need encouragement, talk about God naturally through the day. We spend a lot of time outside. I hope we spend a lot of time outside, because if we're just watching the television, right? Next time you go on a picnic with your family, just talk about God and the might of God. Next time you go fishing and you're spending some time out there in God's creation, just God. The next time you're walking outside as a family and it starts transitioning from day to night, and you see the sun start to go down, and you start to see the moon and the stars begin to pop out, just talk about the wonderful Creator, God. Talk about it naturally. And here's a big one. Here's a big one under faith openly. Admit your mistakes. Admit your mistakes and seek forgiveness. Parents, it's okay to say, I'm sorry, I didn't do that right. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that way. That's a strength. It lets them know, human too, that you have faults yourself. But isn't that biblical? That's called repentance. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do when we have something going amiss? Lives, we say I'm sorry, we repent, and what do we get? We get forgiveness. So model your faith openly. Second thing, initiate some spiritual habits. Initiate some spiritual habits. Turn the TV off. Turn the TV off and have some family prayer time. Open up God's Word and have a time where you just read Scripture. Maybe you have an assignment together and you say, hey, tonight we're not going to watch any television. Tonight we're just going to open up our Bibles and we're going to talk about verses. So you bring your favorite verse and be ready to talk about it. Here's a pretty easy one, I think. Most of us have to drive home from church, right? Even those that live two blocks away. and talk about what you learned in Bible class. Talk about what Robert's sermon was about. What you learned. What you appreciate. What you had never heard before. You know, these are just things that families can do together, and it's something parents can do to initiate some spiritual habits. Third, create a Christ-centered culture. Christ-centered culture. Now, I believe all of us, if we were asked the question, what's the most important thing to you and your family, I think we would probably want to say, right? God and the church. But what is celebrated in your home? Ask yourself that question for your house. What is celebrated in your home? Is it sports? Is it popularity? Is it how dark of a tan you've got? I mean, you know the answer to these questions, right? What is celebrated most in your home? What that does is that shows where your priority is. What I don't want parents is regret. Parents, you don't want to have regret. Walk out of your house when they finish high school. That stinks, by the way. Okay? That just stinks. Some of you know what I mean. Others in there. But you don't want regret when they walk out the door and you think, I didn't do enough. I did not prepare them enough. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's only one person that you can blame. So take this seriously, parents. Your kids are a gift to you from God. You have to honor them by teaching them and leading spiritually. Please do not assume that someone else is doing that for them. What do your children see you value the most? What do your children see you value? And then the final question, I got ahead of myself. Am I leading my kids spiritually, or am I assuming someone else is? Tough questions to answer. All right.
Thank you.
No problem. I needed a visual aid anyway. All right, kids. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise you for your youth. Okay? But be thou an example. People, you are examples too. I am so very proud of the young folks that attend this church. And I mean this when I say it. You are our biggest evangelizers of any group we've got. Because you are not afraid to invite your friends, your neighbors, your teammates, your schoolmates to come to a church function. You're not afraid to do that, so thank you. Please do not stop that. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Psalm 119, verse 9 talks about people living pure lives. And then Matthew chapter 21 talks about how children are praising God. Here's what I want you to know. For years, we've toyed with this phrase of, well, children, kids, teenagers, they're the church of the future. Right? Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, they are going to be the ones who are leading the church. But we can't ignore the fact that they are part of the church right now. So we need to embrace that. We need to emphasize that in everything that we do, right? They are a part of the church now. Do you want your kids to be on fire for God, for the church? Yeah. Well, when do you want that fire to start? When they're 20? When they're 30? When they're 50? Or do you want it to start right now? Well, if you want the fire to start right now, you have to acknowledge that they are part of the church right now. Because a fire doesn't wait to grow later. It burns hot now. Faith in young people should not be postponed. It should be active. Young folks, here's some things that I think will help you to stay engaged. First thing I would tell you is participate. Okay? And again, you guys do this. But participate. Home. Things that you can do to participate is, you know, pray. We talked about a few minutes ago about family prayer time. You need to be praying with your family. Don't just let your dad or your mom be the ones who are initiating things like that. This is a part of your responsibility because you're part of your home. So participate in things like that. Ask questions. Okay? If you don't understand something that you find in Scripture, go to your mom, go to your dad, and say, hey, I don't understand what this means. Or if Robert says something on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, and it just flies way over your head, which is not very often, right? But it's possible for a young person to not fully understand what's being said. Ask mom or dad on the way home, hey, help me understand what Robert was saying. Serve. Okay? Serve. And again, the young folks at this church do so well with this. And share what you learn. Okay? Share what you learn. I guess what I'm trying to say, you need to take ownership of your faith. Now, I understand that in sometimes in our culture we use the term my faith or whatever. I'm not talking about this in broad terms. I'm just saying simply it's yours because your parents cannot get you into heaven. They can teach you. They can teach you, but you have to learn what it is that they're teaching you. The elders of the church not get you into heaven. You have to do that for yourself. Why am I telling you this? Because on the day of judgment, you're going to stand alone. No one can vouch for you. And so if you have not taken ownership of your faith, your responsibility to put God first in everything that you do, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You can't no longer say, hey, look, I'm an okay person because my dad's a deacon at the church. You can't say, hey, I'm automatically going to go to heaven because my dad's the preacher, or my dad's an elder, or my grandfather was an elder for 30 years. That means it trickles down, right? No. No, it doesn't mean that. Ask questions when you don't understand. Seek answers. And if mom and dad answer, that's okay. Somebody does. You'll find that person. This one's hard, but again, I'm choosing to think that you guys are doing it very well. Live out your beliefs at school with your friends. Don't be someone that only does church things and has a church attitude, and I think you understand what I mean by church attitude. Don't do that just on Sundays. You do that every day. People are watching. People are learning. Remember what we started off with, 1 Timothy 4:12, be thou an example in word and conduct, right? That's on you guys. All right. Let's talk about some simple, realistic ways to grow spiritually together. First, I'm just calling these just daily faith moments, right? Daily faith moments. Remember what Deuteronomy 6:7 says? When you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. All I mean by this is talk about God in everyday situations. Don't wait till a Wednesday night to talk about God. Don't wait till a Sunday morning to talk about God. When you're driving to school, I know this may sound crazy, but maybe discuss gratitude. Okay? Discuss gratitude. Instead of complaining about, great, I gotta take a test and I hadn't passed the test all semester and this one's not gonna go any better. Just change the narrative. Talk about gratitude. You know, at the dinner table, instead of complaining about all the homework that you got, or why you don't want to go shopping instead of watching your, you know, favorite show, talk about one spiritual takeaway that you've had throughout the day. You know, just a daily faith moment to include God in everything that you do. We've already kind of talked about this idea of family prayer time, but it is important. And you don't have to go into long, detailed prayers. I would encourage you to keep it simple, right? Keep it simple, but as much as you keep it simple, I would suggest that you keep it consistent. You know, do things consistently. Pray before bed. Maybe rotate who leads the prayer. Pray for specific needs. I know some families kind of keep a prayer board, right? So, you know, when you talk about things that you need to be praying for, you know, write it down. Well, what happens when, you know, you've been praying for Mr. John to get better, and, you know, what do you do when he actually gets better, right? Well, we can take Mr. John maybe off the prayer board and add somebody else because Mr. John's doing better. Our prayers have helped. Weekly family devotionals. Again, they don't have to be long and drawn out. I would say short. You know, they can be short. Simple. But the idea is consistency, right? Maybe just read a passage. You know, ask two three questions. You know, what did this teach us about God? That's an example. Or another question is, how can we live this in our lives this week, coming out of that passage? The idea there is, stop the hectic pace of your life. Slow down just a little bit. Acknowledge the fact that you need God in your life and you are including Him in your life in some way. The church made it so easy over the past couple of years, right, for us to do some serving together. We had the I Love His Church shirt, and now we've got the Jesus Is Why shirt. I'm really curious what's coming next, because it's going to be hard to top some of these. But I love the fact that we all, when we have a big service project, we show out, right? We show out in our shirts, and I think everybody in town knows now who we are. And you're a part of that. Thank you for that. Families, you need to be serving together. You know, your faith does grow when you put it into practice. Right? It does grow when you put it into practice. So, what are some simple things that you can do? Go on a visit. Visit someone who is in need. Maybe help a neighbor. About 8:30 this morning, one of our members called me, and he said, "Hey, there's a couple that had a wreck in front of my house the other day, and they don't have a vehicle. I've got an old vehicle that I don't use anymore. I'm thinking about giving it to them. What do you think?" And I said, "Well, I want to tell you, first off, thank you for having that kind of heart." And then we kind of went into some other things for him to think about, you know, as it relates to that. Help a neighbor. Church service projects. Again, when we had the car care day, somebody asked me how many cars came through. My answer, my consistent answer was, "I don't know, I don't care." And that was the truth. The win was all of you that did show up. That shows your heart. And yes, it shows the church's heart, but it shows yours. Okay? It shows yours. So serve together. And lastly, I would just say, you know, create some spiritual traditions. You know, do things maybe just a little bit different, such as, we like throwing birthday parties, right? Every birthday party. Me, not so much anymore. I always tell my kids, save your money. There's not anything that I need. If I want it, I'll just go get it myself, right? They never listen, you know, but I do mean that. Well, maybe instead of getting a bunch of presents, maybe you ask people in your family to, "Hey, don't give me any presents, but give me your favorite Bible verse and tell me why it's important to you, why it's impactful to you." Just a neat family activity to do. Pray together before big decisions. Reflect on God's blessings at holidays. You know, instead of, "Hey, I cannot wait to devour this turkey and this dressing." I mean, personally, I look forward to it every year. And one year, my mom decided to do away with the traditional. Man, what a bonehead idea that was. I told her, I said, "Don't ever do this again." But before we get to all those things that we're looking forward to, stop and just talk about how God has blessed you and your family over the past calendar year, creating some spiritual traditions. All right, we're almost done. There are some common challenges, right, that I think every family at some point comes in contact with. We're too busy. We don't have enough time in the day, Bill, to do what you're talking about doing. We don't have enough time. Well, Matthew 6, verse 33 says, first, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Here's the truth of the matter. We make time for what is most important to us. That's the truth. So you just have to figure out for yourself what's most important to you. Is it sports? Is it popularity? Is it the tan? Or is it God? I don't feel qualified. Well, I remember when Shay and I first started having children, thinking, no. We were scared. I mean, it's a scary deal, right? When you have someone that is totally dependent. I do not know everything there is to know in life. I don't know everything the way I should that is in this book. But I know enough to teach my kids. Okay? I can keep it basic. Right? I could keep it basic, and you can too. Don't tell me that you're not qualified, because you are. God gives you what it is that you need. Our sufficiency, like 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 says, comes from God. What does that mean? God equips ordinary people. Well, I'm about as ordinary as they come. There's nothing special about me. God equips me to do what I need to do. And this one is just a sad kind of excuse to me. My kids aren't interested. Well, maybe they're not interested because you're not interested. The ways that you need to be interested. Okay? And there's way too many distractions, you know, in our current culture. Don't let those distractions become a way of life for your kids. Again, you set the tone. You are the thermostat, not the thermometer. So stay consistent and persistent in your pursuit of leading your kids towards heaven. Our long-term vision is for our kids and our grandkids to love God, to love His church, to become a Christian, to live faithfully, and to be found faithful in the eyes of God on the day of judgment, and to enter in to the reward, which is heaven. The goal is not perfect children. The goal is faithful disciples. And moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you are all a part of that journey for these young people. Please, please, please do not shirk that responsibility and pass it off to someone else. Building faith in a family is kind of like planting a tree. If you've ever planted a tree, you understand there's quite a bit of work to do, right? I mean, you can't just put a plant root system in there, cover up the hole, and walk away. It doesn't work that way. So picture, we've dug a hole and we have planted a tree. What's going to happen when the storms come? Well, because that tree does not have a very good root system at all, it's going to lean to the right or the left, or it might even fall down. So what do we do with trees when we first plant them? We tie it down, right, to a stake, maybe on one side, maybe on the other. Moms, dads, you're those stakes, right? You're helping to hold that child up, that tree that you've planted. Before long, those roots start to really grasp hold of the foundation. What do? We come in there and we cut those ropes. We take out those stakes, and that tree can finally stand on its own. Generations from now, what's still standing? The tree, right? Think about some of the largest trees in Henderson. I would guess they are over there on North Avenue by Charles Tucker's house and where we used to live and Randy Mead's house. Humongous oak trees, right? I don't know when they were planted, but they've been there well over 100 years. They started as a sapling, right? If faith does not begin at home, it will struggle to survive anywhere. I never once questioned whether or not my parents loved God. I knew it. And not just out of them, but my grandparents on both sides. I do not want either of my kids or my grandchildren that, well, one will be here pretty soon. I don't know if we'll have any more. But I want her to know that I love God. But here's the truth. She will never know unless I tell her, unless I show her, unless I teach her. She'll never know. That is our job. Just a couple of closing thoughts. A strong church is built on strong families. Strong families are built on faith in God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for blessing us each with the measure of health. We know that there are folks that are struggling today with their health, physically, emotionally. We pray that we can be a blessing to them. If they're receiving treatment, I hope their body responds well. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the love that you had for each one of us in giving your son Jesus, which makes this church possible for us to gather together and grow and learn and be encouraged. I'm thankful for each family that's represented here today, and I'm thankful for those that are not able to come today. Thankful for each individual. Father, help us to take your word seriously. Help us to be mindful of our individual responsibilities within our own homes. Father, we want to be where you are at the end of this life. So help us to acknowledge that we need you in our lives. Help us to acknowledge that you are our creator. You are our sustainer. You are the most important being in our life. Help us to be ever so thankful for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Help us to obey, Father, what your word tells us to do. Help us to not take your word for granted, but help us to see it as what it is, the truth. I pray, Father, that we'll leave here today better than when we walked in, more determined than we were before to be who you've called us to be, Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.